Okay, good evening. Tonight's shir is dedicated to Ilonishmas Abraham Yitzchak ben Yaakov. Tonight we have the privilege of studying Parshas Ekev, which is already the third parsha in Sefer Devarim, but we have not yet tackled Sefer Devarim. We have not discussed or had a shir on Sefer Devarim. So this is for us our beginning into discussing Sefer Devarim and its role in the Chamishi Chumshei Torah, its purpose and its message and its lessons. As we know, Sefer Devarim is Mishnah Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu's, Moshe Rabbeinu's educating the Jewish people. Sefer Devarim is mixed with Musar, and I'd like to add, not only is there Musar and rebuke, but there's a lot of what we call valuable lessons and perhaps teachable moments and great advice from the saintly and obviously wise Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's all found in Sefer Devarim. And this week's parasha perhaps is even more interesting, because in this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to recount and remind the Jewish people of some of their shortcomings while in traveling the 40 years in the Midbar, as well as parting some haftachah, some promises, some guarantees from HaKadosh Baruch Hu about how fantastic this world will be if we keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, if we keep and we stay on the straight and narrow, the reward, the beautiful reward that will meet us. And then he goes middle of the parasha to basically rebuke and relive many of Bnei Yisrael's shortcomings, mistakes, errors during our stay in the Midbar. And then we end off with, again, quite a few important famous lessons and almost some predictions, we can call them, from Moshe Rabbeinu about what will happen to the Jewish people when they get into Eretz Yisrael. And in the ending of Parashas Ekev, perhaps it's something that we're all familiar with. I think we're all familiar with it. It ends off with the second parasha of Kriya Shema, Vayoyim Shemaya, and that is towards the end of the parasha. So then again, there's a lot of very important tidbits, I'd call it, instruction, advice, lessons that Moshe Rabbeinu is relaying to the Jewish people in Parashas Ekev, and he's giving us words to live by, ideas, values, thoughts, not only for the Jewish people during their stay in the Midbar, right before they're entering into Eretz Yisrael, but really for all of us, for all of the Jewish people. These are going to be such essential advice that we all are going to use and continue to use on our in our daily lives. So let's start from the beginning, opening Pasuk, the name of the Parsha, Ekev. Says the Chumash, V'hoyah, and it will be Ekev Tishmu. And so we're not going to translate that word Ekev at the moment, we'll come back to it. So says the Pasuk, V'hoyah, Ekev Tishmu, and you'll keep Es ha-mishpatim ha'ela. Note the interesting word mishpatim, what mishpatim connotates. Usually mishpatim connotates those logical laws, those what we call today civil laws. We know that Terry could have used the word chukim. Chukim imply those things that we don't understand, those things that don't make sense to us. Rather, mishpatim connotates a more logical, coherent type of law, like a civil concept that would make sense to the simple folk and would be what we'd call today part of civil life. Ushmartem v'asisem v'isam, and you'll keep them and you'll do them. Then what happens, says the Pasuk, v'shamer Hashem elokech lecha, Hashem will guard for you the bris and the chesed. Note the interesting two concepts, bris and chesed, asher nishpa l'avosecha, that he promised to your forefathers. So again, there's a lot in this opening Pasuk, so much to talk about on this opening Pasuk. The Torah is telling us that if you'll keep whatever Ekev means, you'll guard them and you'll keep them, that Hashem in return will guard for you the bris, the treaty, the kindness that he swore to your forefathers. So we're seeing over here right off the bat, and the Mefarshim grapple with this, that we're always falling back to bris avisecha. We're falling back to the deal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with our forefathers. Hashem promised our forefathers, he promised Avraham Avinu that I'm going to do for your children. Now again, I don't want to go through all of the Tisha B'Av themes, but one of the things in the kinnis that we spoke about was this idea of the power of the avos, and the avos and the bris avos versus chus avos. Rabbi Soloveitchik discussed that at length in his commentary in the kinnis, that there's something called bris avos and something called chus avos. The chus avos is questionable whether or not we ran it out, but bris avos is something very real. Bris avos means Hashem made a deal with the avos that he's going to hold on to his great-great-great-grandchildren, which is us, and there's going to be a Jewish people, and there's going to be a legacy. So here the Pasuk seems to be saying that there's some direct correlation to the Shavua that he made to our forefathers. But the obvious question is, if we're doing the mitzvahs on our own, and if we're doing our end of the deal, why do you need to come on to Shavua Savisecha? Why can't it be that Hashem will give us all the good because we deserved it? Why do you have to come on to the fact that he was Nishba Lavisecha? The reason why he has to give it to us is because we did it. We put in the time, we put in the effort, we did the mitzvahs. So if we did the mitzvahs and we get the reward, so the reward should come to us not because he was nishba l'avayseh, because he swore to our grandfathers. It's the reward should come to us because we deserve it. Okay, not going to get into that kasha, just to mention it for the sake of mentioning. So the big discussion over here is how to translate the word akif. What does the Torah mean? What is the Kavanas HaTorah? What was the idea over here when mentioning the word Akev? Akev literally translates in Hebrew to mean a heel. What did the Pasuk mean over here? So Rashi has the famous pshat based on a medrash that Akev over here means HaMitzvahs HaKalos, the light mitzvahs she'odom dosh ba'akevav. The Pasuk is saying that if the Jewish people not just keep mitzvahs, the big mitzvahs, the famous mitzvahs, the important mitzvahs, or at least perceived to be important mitzvahs, but rather, says the Torah, if the Jewish people will keep the under-the-radar mitzvahs, what Rashi calls the mitzvahs hakalos. Rashi calls them light mitzvahs, she'odom dosh ba'akovav, that a person tends to step on with his heel. He doesn't take them seriously. Then, says the Torah, you'll get fantastic reward, beautiful brachas will befall you. So then we can understand a little bit better what's the chiddush over here. The chiddush is not just for keeping mitzvahs, you get these beautiful rewards, but we're talking about for keeping the mitzvahs that are often overlooked. Those mitzvahs that sometimes are not recognized by people as being important, as being valuable, as being essential. That too, the Torah demands of us that we have to keep careful. That's rather, Rashi understands the Gemara. There's a beautiful Balaturim. The Balaturim points out that maybe the word Akev over here means at the end. The word Akev comes from the Lashon at the end. Why? Because at the end of last week's parasha, the Pasuk tells us that v'shamartas ha-mitzvah ha-vesachukim v'samishpatim, if you will keep the rules and the decrees and everything that I ask you, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom la'asoisam, today to do. So Rashi at the end of the parasha quotes from the Gemara. The Gemara says, hayom la'asoisoi, the way Parashas Va'eschanan ends is with the following message. The message is, do for God in this world, reward is in the next world. And we know that's based on another Gemara, famous Gemara in Kedushin, Tzchar Mitzvah Bahai Al Malekah. We believe, we have a tradition, that we do not get rewarded for what we do in this world. All the reward for all the mitzvahs that we do is only going to be in the next world. So says the Balaturim, you come to this week's parasha, you seem to get a different impression. Come to this week's parasha, it says, if you keep the mitzvahs, everything's going to be amazing. You're going to get all the beautiful brachas, which hopefully we'll get to in a few minutes. The beautiful brachas of an abundance of wealth, an abundance of family, an abundance of good health. All the things that we ask for are waiting for us if we keep the mitzvahs. What happened to the rule of schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah? So the Balaturim writes, that's pshat in the pasuk. When it says in the Pasuk, Akev, it means, you're right, the reward will be later on, not really now. So learns the Bal HaTurim. Now, this Kasha, about what happened to no reward in this world, we will have to come back to in a few minutes. The Aznayim Lutayr of Zalman Sirotskin quotes a pshat from his father-in-law, the great Ablazer Gordon, who says like this, that there's two types of mitzvahs. Or to make it more brisker, we can say there's two dinim in a mitzvah. He says, one thing is to do the mitzvah. It's one thing to do the mitzvah. Then he says there's another thing called a toitzah of the mitzvah. Meaning, sometimes if we do a mitzvah, so we do the mitzvah and we get schar for it. But he says, sometimes when a person does a mitzvah, he causes others to do a mitzvah. What we call a trickle-down effect. Right? A person does a mitzvah, he starts a movement, and now people join the movement. A person comes to shul, he sees you're davening nicely, so he davens nicely. You stay for the shir, he stays for the shir. That's an impact you can have on the greater tzibur. So not only are you doing the mitzvah of davening or learning or giving tzedakah, you cause other people to do it also. Said Reb Lazer Gordon, that's pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk over here is not referring to just doing mitzvahs. It's referring to that second type of mitzvah, where you caused others to do a mitzvah. You had an impact on others, you excited others, you shone the light, you taught others about the mitzvah. Then all this beautiful bracha is going to befall you. It's an amazing idea. We know that good deeds are often catchy. One person does something good, his neighbor watches him, his neighbor sees him, he does it also. You know what, says Reb Lazer Gordon, you'll get an amazing reward because you exposed him to the mitzvah. You taught him about the mitzvah. You showed him how beautiful a mitzvah is. This is a very important idea of how we impact others without even knowing it. without necessarily making a big deal about it, when a person does certain things, people watch us, they want to copy us, they want to be like us, they want to see what we do, and therefore says Reb Elazar Gordon, that's Pshat of the Pasuk. Akev over here doesn't just mean your typical idea of like Rashi learns, but rather it means the idea of those mitzvahs that you expose to others. You got others involved. You taught others to do. You inspired others. Then the Torah has beautiful, beautiful brachas that are waiting for you. The Avnei Nezer points out, the great Sochet Shavu Rebbe, the first Sochet Shavu Rebbe writes, that the mitzvahs that Adam Dosh Ba'akov, of those mitzvahs that we step on with Afik, what does that mean? It means the things that we don't really think are wrong. We live in a world today where we basically have a system of what we think is Aser and what we think is not Aser. Right? Lashon Hara is not really Aser. Okay, that's our perception. But everything else is, Shabbos, we have my Machbid on, and Kashrus, we have Machbid on. But Lashon Hara, that's not really on our radar. Therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, those Averis that you don't really perceive as Aser, they're very hard to do tshuva on. Because what are you going to do tshuva on something you don't think is in an Avera? If a person doesn't understand that Lashon Hara is a terrible Avera and it's a terrible, terrible sin, how is he supposed to do tshuva on it? Therefore, writes the Avnei Nezer, those mitzvahs she'odam dosh ba'akovav are so detrimental because they're impossible to do tshuva from them. Because you don't think he did anything wrong. As far as you're concerned, you're a perfect person. Lashon Hara is not Aser. Puk Chazi, go out on the street, everyone speaks Lashon Hara. So therefore says the Avnei Nezer, the chesaron of the mitzvah she'odam dosh ba'akovav, it makes it almost impossible to fix them, to be mechaper on them. If Moshe Feinstein learns, pshat in the pasuk of what are the mitzvahs Adam Dosh Ba'akovav? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's all those mitzvahs that we never studied and learned the halachas. Why do we spend time learning halacha? And this is again a bigger conversation, not for now, but the main reason why we learn halacha is so we should know how to serve Hashem. A person wants to know how to daven, so he learns halachas tefillah. A person wants to know how to keep Shabbos, so he learns halachas Shabbos. So every area in halacha that we learn, and we learn it well, and we delve into it, is so this way we can do it and be more sensitive to it. Writes with Moshe Feinstein, so what are the mitzvahs she'adam dosh ba'akovav? It's all those areas that no one bothers to learn. No one bothers to learn Hilchas Lashon Hara, no one bothers to learn Hilchas Rechilas, no one bothers to learn parts of Chai Shemish, but no one bothers to learn, I don't know, Hilchas Erevin, whatever it is. There's a lot of chapters of Shulchan Aruch that people just don't bother to learn either because they're hard, they're complicated, or we feel like they're not relevant. Says with Moshe, anything you don't learn, you're going to be dosh ba'akovav. Again, Rav Moshe Feinstein learned everything and knew everything. But for the rest of us, those areas that we don't learn, of course we're going to sin in them. Not because we're bad people, but because we're ignorant. The Rebbe always used to tell us that ignorance is bliss, but not in Judaism. It's not a head that I don't know. What do you mean? So you got to learn. You got to study. You got to be educated. You got to learn. So therefore, Zot Rav Moshe, any mitzvah that we don't know enough about because we didn't study it, that's already included in mitzvah she'adam dosh ba'akovav. It's interesting, Reb Steinman was very bothered by the same kasha that everyone's bothered with. What does it mean, mitzvah she'adam dosh ba'akov? What does it mean, a mitzvah kala, a light mitzvah? Does it mean mitzvahs that we take lightly? Is it mitzvahs that we are not makbid on? Or does it mean mitzvahs that are intrinsically, perhaps, considered light mitzvahs? And he goes through Shas. Steinman points out there are Gemaras where the Gemara talks about certain mitzvahs that are deemed a mitzvah kala. And he writes that the Gemara says a mitzvah kala is a shaluach hakan. Mitzvah kala, shaluach hakan. It's so easy. All you got to do is find a bird and you knock it over. It's not so easy. There's a lot of halachas to it. And today it's, I think it's a big school. It is a school. It says in the Chumash, it's a big school. So I don't know if I'd call shaluach hakan a mitzvah kala. Then he quotes from another Gemara. The Gemara says that since this is a mitzvah kala, I think I can understand that a lot better. All you got to do is put on the cloth and you move on. You forget about it. So we spoke enough times about Hilchas Tzitzis. We had a whole series on it that a lot of people struggle with tzitzis, even though the Gemara calls it a mitzvah kala. However, if Koppelman, in his Sefer, learns Kipshuta, like with Moshe, any mitzvah that people are not careful in is Dosh Ba'akevav. And it can change from generations to generation. Any mitzvah that people are not careful with, people don't take it to heart, they're not Zoyer in it, they're not Zoriz, they're not serious about it, that's considered Dosh Ba'akevav. And they write in Rav Koppelman Sefer, in his Shurim, that he spoke about the Gemara, famous Gemara. The Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so like Beirach B'Torah Tchila, that we didn't make Birchas HaTorah first. So everyone knows the famous Pshat. The reason why we didn't make Birchas HaTorah, because it wasn't important to us. We didn't care enough about it. We learned a lot of Torah, but perhaps we weren't attaching ourselves to the Torah properly. And he gave a shmuz once in the yeshiva, right around Ben Azmanim time, where he spoke about the downfall of vacation. Again, I'm not here to get into that topic. I do think vacation is essential and important for even people that are, especially for people that are learning all day for weeks and months, and then they definitely need a vacation. I think everyone needs a vacation. I would like a vacation. I think everyone should take a vacation. But he was pointing out that for learning Torah, sometimes you need to stay on track. You can't get, you can't go off the path. But he says that that's sometimes the problem. Even in the world of Torah, we get desensitized to its value and its importance. And we have to remind ourselves of its amazing value and its amazing power of Torah. Rav Pam learned that the idea of Akavav are the things that perhaps are overlooked. They're overlooked, the details. The details are sometimes the most important elements in Avodas Hashem. Sometimes the biggest way to be Noivet Hashem is to be aware and sensitive to the details. I'll say a story about Rav Pam, a beautiful idea, where there was a parent who came with their son to the yeshiva for him to put on tefillin for the first time and to daven in Torah V'das Beis Medrash. And you know, parents are so proud of their son. First time he wears tefillin, he's mitzvah l'minyan. It's a very special thing. And the parents, the father took the son into the yeshiva, and the mother would wait in the lobby till davening was over. In the middle, at some point in the beginning of davening, Rav Pam went over to call the mother of the bar mitzvah boy and said to him, "You know, my office opens up into the Beis Medrash. So come sit in my office. If you sit in my office, you'll be able to see a much better view of your son while he davens." And the godless of the story was that Rav Pam realized the details. The subtle details. Most of us, Rav Pam probably had much bigger things running through his mind than whether or not a mother can watch or not watch a son daven for the first time. But to Rav Pam, that was important. That was sacred. That was valuable. So to him, it was important. It reminds me of a similar story. I mentioned this story before, that when my oldest brother came to take a faher in Shara Torah, we're going back quite some years already. So at that time, my mother tells me the story. She tells it over. That my parents came and I had a younger sister who was 1 or 2 years old. And they were sitting in the office waiting to speak to the Rebbe. And Reb Zelig Epstein passed by and he noticed the baby. He went to go look for a lollipop to bring to the baby, to my younger sister. He wanted that she should have a lollipop. Reb Zelig Epstein was dealing with a lot of complicated issues at that time. He was already, at that time, probably the Zakana Rosh Hashiva in America. But he saw a little kids need lollipops. So this is a sensitivity that we find in Gedolim, but we all have to have the sensitivity. When we see someone, something, a need to be filled, or a problem, or a shortfall, we have to try to help out. And that's the idea of the mitzvah she'adam dash ba'akevav, the mitzvah that sometimes we struggle with. Some people learn the pshat, the mitzvah she'adam dash ba'akevav, is those, like we said earlier, those areas where people are just not makbid. Like the way Reb Steinman wanted to learn, the way Reb Koppelman wanted to learn. Just people are not makbid. You know, Rabbi Belsky Zatzal used to say over that Klal Yisrael all has the same pesach. And he said the pesach that Klal Yisrael has is called Everybody Does It. That's the name of the pesach. Everybody Does It. You speak to people. Why is this okay? Because everybody does it. So he said that's Dosh Ba'akov. Dosh Ba'akov means no one is stopping to realize that this is not right. No one is sensitive to it. Everyone's mattering. It's okay. No one's taking it seriously. No one is taking it to heart. No one is focusing on the details. And that's Dosh Ba'akevav, those mitzvahs that no one keeps. Either like Rav Moshe said, because we're not studying it, or because we just mutter heter. It's mutter. It's got to be mutter. It has to be mutter. It must be mutter. And it's mutter because I know my neighbor does it, so it's mutter. It's something that we need to think about, and that's what the Torah is promising us, some beautiful, beautiful rewards when we realize how much out there we need to really focus on. Again, obviously this parasha is read as we're getting closer and closer to Elul. I know it's on everyone's mind, or perhaps they're trying to block it out for a little bit, but the Yom Noraim are not far away. Elul's around the corner. This week is Shabbos Mevorchim Chodesh Elul. Elul's around the corner. This is the time where we do a lot of introspection, a lot of internal looking at ourselves and our deeds and our actions, and we have to ask ourselves, are we falling into the trap of everybody does it trap? You know, everyone does it, so it's got to be mutter. You got to know. Sometimes we have a rule. Sometimes the Gemara says a rule. Puk chazim ha'oma deva. Go out and see what the people are doing. Sometimes there's a thing called the minig ha'mokim, but sometimes it's just ignorance. Not everyone knows the halacha, and not everyone knows what they're doing, but they do what they want. Therefore, that's one of the ideas of Adam Dosh Va'akavav. We'll go one more pshat, and then we really got to get into the rest of the parsha. So Reb Moshe Bick, in his Sefer, points out Akasha, which we mentioned really the Baal HaTurim is somewhat addressing. What happened to the principle of Schar Mitzvah by Al-Molek? What happened to the rule that we have no reward in this world? So the truth is that if I remember correctly, I think when we had this shir a few years ago, we had a bunch of other terutzim to this kasha. How to balance the yisoid of Schar Mitzvah by Al-Molek, we get no reward in this world, with these psukim where the reward is beautiful. You read through the psukim, the reward is mamish, every Jew's dream, to be wealthy, lots of children, no sickness. What more can you ask for? It doesn't say that the Mets should win the World Series, but Mestam, it's assumed like that also. It's got all the beautiful things in the world. So what happened to the idea of Schar Mitzvah by Amalek? We gave many terutzim. I just want to mention the pshat from Rav Moshe Bik because it fits nicely into the pasuk. Rav Moshe Bik says that the word Akiv over here means from the heel, from the lashon to run. Says Rav Moshe Bik, mitzvahs have to be something you pursue. Not that they fall on your lap and then you have to deal with them. He says that's pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk is v'hayu Akiv tishman, when mitzvahs are pursued, when you run after them. He said, that's pshat in the Gemara. Schar mitzvah by Amaleka means you don't get reward for doing the mitzvah. But you know what you do get reward for in this world? For every step that you go to shul, and every time you run, and every excitement that you have, and every inconvenience you have to do the mitzvah, for that desire that he calls it, that tzipisa, that anticipating, waiting, the countdown, the want to do mitzvahs, for that you get reward. That's how he learns pshat in the word Akev. And then he has another pshat, where he learns the lashon Akev comes from the heel, is the lowest part of the body. Even though it perhaps is one of the most important parts of the body, but it's not the head, it's not the heart, it's the lower part of the body. So he says it comes from, it's teaching us about anivas, to be humble. And he learns that the brachas that the Torah promises comes from someone who humbles himself. One of the midas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a terrible distaste for is gaiva, haughtiness. We'll talk about it a little bit in the parasha also. People who think that they're all that, and they're the reason that they're successful, and they're the reason that they have great things. The Torah doesn't like that. What the Torah does like are people that are modest, anivas. And that's the Akiv over here. V'hoyo Akiv Tishman, the Akiv reflects a certain amount of anivas. That's what the Torah wants over here. And then, the person lives a life of anivas, he's modest, he's humble, then he gets beautiful brachas that the Torah promises. Okay, we are way beyond what I wanted to cover for the first Rashi, but there are some beautiful midrashim over here. Beautiful, beautiful midrashim that I suggest everyone, if you have it, there's a beautiful set of chumashim called Oitzah HaMidrashim, I have it. They bring down beautiful, beautiful midrashim. And the beauty of midrashim, I often say, is it gives you a pischein peh. It gives you an opening into try to understand what the Tanoim and some of the sometimes Amiroim, what were they trying to teach us, educate us through the words of the parasha. So there's a beautiful medrash over here. I want to share with the Olam. I think I spoke about it last year. I don't remember. Medrash says like this. Loma dafka be'ekev. What's the word ekev? Says the medrash, Ein Yisrael mekabla mesatera ela be'ekev. The Jewish people can only be makabel the Torah when? In the heel. La'acha shem siyasrin me'oinshin v'soivlim tzaris. After the Jewish people go through tzaris, pain, anguish, punishment, oz chayzrin v'shoimim, then they finally listen. Says the Medrash, you read the part like this, v'hoyo ekev, after the heel, after all the pain and suffering, tishman, that's when you finally listen. Sometimes, Klal Yisrael, as a nation, we only get the wake-up call after we get the smack upside the head. Do we finally wake up and improve? And that's pshat in the pasuk, the Akev. Sometimes it takes that Akev to get us to be where we need to be. And again, history has definitely shown us sometimes that we need wake-up calls to get us to be what we need to be and where ultimately we should be. So what does the Torah promise us? Va'ahevcha. What's the first promise Hashem says? I will love you. First promise. I will love you. So the Mefarshim point out that itself is a beautiful bracha. Maybe you can't put that bracha, you can't put a value on that bracha, but that bracha defines everything. Hashem says, I will love you, you know you're in a good place. The Medrash kind of learns it even differently. The Medrash says that love is the explanation for all the brachas. All the beautiful bracha that Hashem will give you, which will involve money, all stem from the fact that Hashem loves us. So it really does connect to the fact that Hashem loves us. But nonetheless, many learn that the mere fact that Hashem loves us, that idea that Hashem has a love for us in itself is an amazing thing. What is worth noting, if you look in the pasuk, it says, Vahevchan, I will love you. Uveirachchan, I will bless you. Vihirbechan, I will multiply you. That's all in the singular. That's the singular. Opening pasuk, Vahyoekev Tishmu'un, Ushmartem Vasisem Isam, is talking about the plural. To the masses. So why, when it comes to the Kima Mitzvah, is it the mass? Is it the plural? Is it the rabbin? But when it comes to reward, it's the individual. So the Klei Chemda says a beautiful idea. He says, very often in life, we do mitzvahs in mass. We go to shul, there's 15 of us, we're all davening. We go to a shir, we're all learning. And we're all doing it, the Tishmu'un, the Va'asisem is done in a mass setting. But the reward is individual based. 10 people could come to shul and all daven, and not everyone's going to get the same reward. The reward is tailor-made for the person who does it. If you have more kavana, you get more reward. Less kavana, less reward. Or maybe even for more, for you to bigger nesayin to come to shul. For you to get out of bed for shachris is much harder than the guy who can't sleep at night and he's a morning person. For you to come to the shir, it takes much more effort. You don't like learning so much. Learning is difficult for you. You don't get as excited for learning. So yes, we're all doing the same act, but the reward is individually given. And that's why the reward for all of these things is all in the singular. You, 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 as opposed to the doing is done in the plural. So what are the rewards that wait for us when we do the Ekev? Says the Torah, Hashem will love us, Ubeirach, He will bless you. Veherbecha, and He will multiply you. Uveirach pri bitnecha, and He will bless the fruits of your loins. He will give you children. Ufri admosecha, and the fruits of your land. The Medrash points out already that if you look at the order of the psukim, what's the first bracha? The first bracha is children. And then He gives you the bracha for panasa. And many people point out, it's very nice to have children. We'd like to have large families, but they cost a lot of money. It's not easy to run, to raise a Jewish family today. Definitely not with inflation. That's why the Torah says, don't worry. You'll have a lot of children and you won't struggle financially. You won't have to be reliant on other people's handouts. Why? Because I will give you beautiful blessings financially. So even though you'll have a large families, which generally cause a lot of financial strain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that don't worry, you will have the finances to care for them. Beautiful brachas, all your animals. Then it continues, Baruch Tiyem Mikol Amim, you will be blessed from all the nations. Also, many different pshatim had to learn this pasuk. Either it means that the goyim will praise you. The goyim will say, wow, look at those Jews. The Jews are fantastic. The Jews are amazing. The Jews are a unique people. The goyim will recognize the Jewish people, the goyim will recognize the godless of Klal Yisrael. I said over a story to my talmidim in camp last week. I said over a story that there was a lady that had to go for a pre-op treatment before surgery. So she goes to pre-op, and the doctor says you need to take medication before you're ready, before you can get ready for the surgery. And in that hospital, they had a pharmacy on premises, so she'd go to the pharmacy to fill the prescription and take the medication. And she comes to the pharmacy was basically closed. There was one man behind the counter, and she says to him, I need to fill this prescription. I need to take my medicine so I can go for surgery. The man says, I'm sorry, the pharmacy is closed. She says, but I need to fill this prescription. So he says, but the registers are down. We can't take any money. And I can't give you a prescription if I can't charge you. So the lady says, listen, my husband will come back in 2 days to drop me off for the surgery. He will pay you the medicine, the money then. Please just let me take the prescription. So the guy, after enough convincing, says, fine. And he writes on the top, you know, I'm the manager, my name is Tom, I'm the manager, and I signed off that you can have the medication. So 2 days later, when the wife comes for the surgery, so the husband comes to the pharmacy, he says, I'm looking for Tom, I want to pay back the money. So she said, they say to her, Tom is not around right now, but we'll take the money. Then as he's leaving, he hears in the back room, they're screaming, Tom, you won the bet. What was the bet? They had a bet whether or not the frum Jew would come back and pay. Would he actually come back and pay? And they said, Tom, you said he would, and we said he wouldn't. But they said to Tom, but it's not a fair deal. You didn't tell us the person was Jewish. You didn't tell us that they were Jewish. If they were Jewish, we also would have assumed that they'd come back and pay their debt. That's Baruch Tia Mikalam. The world will look at the Jewish people and say, you guys are special. Sadly, sometimes we do things that make the non-Jewish people say things not so nice about us. That's Baruch Tia Mikol Amim. That's what a Jew is supposed to be. That's who we are. The Medrash actually learns in the Pasuk that some of the brachas that are going to befall us are the brachas that make us who we are. We're supposed to be a people of chesed. We're supposed to be kind, compassionate people. And the world should realize that. The world should know that. The world will say that about us. I just read an amazing story. There was a fellow, a non-Jewish fellow, who usually takes the bus home every single day. He works in a restaurant. He's a manager in a restaurant. And one day he decided to walk. And he walks by a shelter for homeless people. And he says to himself, I don't understand. I work in a restaurant and every night we throw away so much leftover food. Why don't we give the food to the homeless people? You know, zenena v'zenena, let them have it. And we'll feel good about ourselves. So he goes to his boss. He asks the boss. And the boss says, that's a fantastic idea. Let's do it. Let's start giving. So the fellow who thought of the idea, the manager of the restaurant, goes down to the shelter, and he's watching everyone so happy with all this abundance of food that's coming. And there's one lady in the back who won't touch the food. Everyone else is indulging. They're enjoying this restaurant food that would have ended up in the garbage. Now they're eating it. This one lady would not eat it. And the man who was the manager who thought of the idea goes over to the lady and asks her, you know, why are you not eating it? So she says to him, because you're a Jew. And I don't want anything from a Jew. The guy looked at her and said, I'm not Jewish. I'm a Gentile. I'm just a nice Gentile who wanted to help you. But she was so adamant, you're a Jew. I don't want to take anything from a Jew. So this fellow was so taken by her comment, like, what is Jewish about me? So this fellow was talking to his mother. He told his mother's story. And his mother said, you know, I have to tell you the truth, you aren't Jewish. Really, your father's not Jewish, but I'm Jewish. We raised you not Jewish, but really you're Jewish. Can you imagine the guy would realize that only a Jew would think about chesed like this? Only a Jew would say, why should we throw out all the food? Let's go help someone. That's a Yiddish cup. But it's not a Yiddish cup, it's a Yiddish hearts. The Jews have to grow, we grow with our heart, but the world will realize it. This crazy lady realized that this was a Jew. That's Baruch Tia Mikolam, that's the epitome of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu vis-a-vis the way we live our life. It's an achrayus, it's a bracha. I can't always say that we live up to that. Sometimes it goes the other way around. But that's one of the pshatim and pshat in the pasuk of Baruch Tia Mikolam. Then the Torah continues. We will have beautiful brachas for ourselves and for our animals. Then we have, the Torah tells us, Baruch Tia Mikolam lo yibucha okar va'akara uvedemtecha. There will be no infertility issues, which itself is a whole shmooze, not for now. How heart-wrenching such an experience is for those that are struggling with it. To be able to be blessed with children is one of the greatest brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us in this physical world. And the Torah promised us there will be no infertilities. All the infertility clinics will close up. Bani Olam will close up. Eitam will close up. None of them will be needed, Baruch Hashem. Those are the brachos that are going to befall the Jewish people. But some people learn more than that. It doesn't just mean that you'll have physical children. It means you're going to have children that are muhuganim. You're going to have good children. Children that are living a lifestyle that make the parents proud. Sometimes children can be born, physically they're born, but nebuch, they're not living up to the lifestyle of the parents, the grandparents. They're not living up to a Torah lifestyle, which can be very heart-wrenching for the parents and for those people that are involved. And therefore the Torah is promising us here, not only will there be physical children, there'll be an abundance of children, but there'll be children that are going in the path of Torah, which is the most, perhaps, greatest nachas, what we call today Yiddish nachas, one of the greatest things that people want to or want to experience. So what happens? Beautiful. V'heisir Hashem b'chol kol chayil, Hashem will remove all sicknesses. Another bracha, one of the things we struggle with in this world, is sicknesses, health issues. Again, it's such a heart-wrenching topic. So many people we know of have been involved with people that are sick, struggling with various physical ailments. Some people even learn, I think Ibsham Shuval Hirsch talks about this, that the difference between Kol Choyli and Madve Mitzrayim Arayim, he talks about maybe one of them is talking about mental illnesses and one of them is talking about physical illnesses. Yes, we live in a world today where mental illness is a terrible, terrible issue and a very, very heart-wrenching issue as well, all the various mental issues that we have in Klal Yisrael. And again, all of this will be gone. All this will be gone. We will not have any of this. We will not struggle with these nisyonos. We will not need to deal with any of these problems. Such beautiful, beautiful brachas that the Torah has for us if we keep our end of the deal. Then the Torah tells us, "Va'achaltas kol ha'amim," you will eat up. You will consume. You will destroy all the other nations. Asher Hashem lekecha noisin loch. But lo yisachos in chalim. Do not have mercy on them. And this is a very, very important lesson in Jewish history. That very often the Jewish person is by nature very compassionate. We spoke about it earlier. We are bale chemla. Medrash tells us, Gemara tells us, the three character traits of a Jew is to be bal chesed, is to care about other people, is to worry about other people. And here the Torah says, but don't feel bad for them. You need to get rid of them. Pashtus is talking about the Zayin Amim, which we have a mitzvah to get rid of, to kill, to annihilate, to wipe out, to remove from Eretz Yisrael. Now that's not easy. How are we good, loving Jewish people supposed to kill and to murder and to hate? Says the Torah, because if you don't get them, they will get you. If we don't annihilate the Zayin Amim, all that's going to happen is they're going to have a bad influence on you. If you don't get rid of them, if you keep them around, if you feel bad for them, if you have mercy and compassion for them, it will come back to bite you. And we've spoken about this in the past. I don't want to get into it again because we're already behind schedule. That was the whole lesson of Purim. that if we didn't kill Agag, because we left Agag alive, that's what led to Haman. You can't let these people, they're a danger to society, they're a danger to us. Getting rid of them is not considered an act of murder. It's not considered an act of not considerate. We're looking out what's best for us. And therefore says the Torah, if you don't get rid of them, they will ultimately come back to bite you, they will come to harm you. That's not an easy thing. Shaul struggled with this. Shaul struggled terribly with this. And this is the problem that I heard this once from my Rebbe of Kamenevsky pointed out. This is the problem with liberal Jews. Liberal Jews have the biggest heart because they're Jewish, but they have rachmanis for the wrong people. They feel bad for the Palestinians, and they feel bad for the Arabs. They feel bad for all the wrong people. But it's coming from a good place, because Klai Yisrael Ba'etzem has rachmanis. We're rachmanim b'nei rachmanim. But says the Torah, you can't have rachmanis for these people. Don't feel bad for the Zayin Amim. Don't feel bad for the Amalek. Get rid of them, because they're only going to cause you harm. They're only going to hurt you. They're only going to come back and cause you more detriment and negativity. And therefore, says the Torah, you have to get rid of them. Then the Torah says later on, it says, where'd it go? It says you have to get rid of them. Says later on, you have to get rid of them. But Hashem says, I'm not going to get rid of them so much. So how do you read that? So the Majid Tzir Rebbe has a beautiful pshat in that pasuk. The Majid Tzir Rebbe writes that if you're going to go through a mass murder, you're going to go around annihilating people, it's going to affect who you are. Even though we're saying that you have to do it and you need to do it, at the end of the day, it's going to have an impact on you. It's going to make you like chayas hasodeh. It's going to make you like an animal. It's going to take away the menschkeit to you. You're going around shooting 1 million people, 100,000 people, it's going to have a toll on you. And therefore Hashem says, we'll do it slowly. Right, the next pasuk. We'll do it slowly. You know why? You can't mass murder the goyim. You know why? Pashup Shah Rashi learns it means there'll be a lot of animals. Says the Majid Tzir Rebbe, no. Tirbe Alecha Chayas HaSodeh means you'll become an animal. Oh, you'll become an animal. You'll become so desensitized. And that's what happened in the Holocaust. When the goyim would go around murdering Jews by the thousands, it desensitizes you. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to desensitize you. We'll do it slowly. We're not going to do it in a way that Chas V'Shalom will cause you to lose the specialty of what it means to be a Yid and the specialty of what it means to be a person. We'll do it slowly. We'll go slowly. Then the Torah continues, and Hashem tells us about mitzvahs. The Torah tells us that what? Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavuch hayom. Every mitzvah that I command you, tishmurun la'asos, you should guard, you should keep them. L'man techyun, so you will live. Urvisem, uvasem, v'yushtem esaretz. These are all your tickets to the next, to Eretz Yisrael. You gotta keep the rules, you gotta keep the mitzvahs. Says the next pasuk, v'zacharta, but you should remember, as kol ha-derech, remember the entire path, remember the entire step, stages of life, remember everything. Asher alichcha Hashem lekecha zeh ha-derech shana ba-midbar. So Moshe Shtemach writes, you know what pshat this pasuk is, zeh ha-derech is? Remember Jewish history. Remember all the trials and tribulations of a people. We reviewed this over Tisha B'Av. All the terrible, terrible tragedies of Jewish history. We're not going to go through all of them, but we all know when we're all familiar. Says Rav Moshe Shtemach, the Torah wants you to remember Jewish history. Look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu navigated us. He took us from this country, threw us out of this country, took us to another country, built it here, burnt it here, destroyed it here, rebuilt it here. Remember all of that. L'man ha'noscha, that everything was part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Hashem had a plan and a cheshbon for all of Jewish history. The Arachayim HaKadosh writes that this pasuk is teaching us another lesson. The Arachayim HaKadosh writes that this pasuk is the embodiment of Akar Satoif. V'zachartes kol ha-derech asher alicha Hashem lekech chazar bo'em shana b'amil. You know what that means? You have to be appreciative. Akar Satoif. Hashem took care of us for 40 years, and it's a beautiful lesson of the Arachayim HaKadosh. That I read it inside, even though I know it's extremely late, and we really just only scratched the surface of this week's parasha, but it's a beautiful Arachayim HaKadosh. The Arachayim HaKadosh writes, in this pasuk, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, he writes, from this pasuk we learn, the Zechart is called Aderich, writes the Arachayim HaKadosh, where'd it go? I can't find it. Okay, of course I can't find it, but I'm looking for it. This is the idea of Hakaras HaToif. A person has to be grateful to remember all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for him, all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watched over him all those years in the desert. I can't find it. Okay. So explains the Aruch Haim HaKadosh. Then what does the Torah tell us? L'man anoyzecho l'nasoyzecho l'odasis Hashem b'lovavcha tishmor imloy v'yancho v'yarizecho v'yichilcho asamon. We were be'inui. We were uncomfortable through the eating of the man. Why? Writes the Chumash that the eating of the man in the Midbar was a test, as well as an inui, an uncomfortability. So what was the test and the uncomfortability? So many learn, really based on a Gemara, the test and the uncomfortability was whether or not we're going to complain that we don't have any storage. The man came daily, and it was gone daily. You did not go to, you went to sleep each night with no food in the cupboard. You weren't hungry, you were full, but you went to sleep not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring. Most people don't like that. Most people like to know that they have food for tomorrow, they have a nest egg, they have a savings account, they have enough food. Right? We live in a world where we like to be what's called pas b'salat. The bread's in my basket, I know I'm good to go. Zok the Mefarshim, it's really Gemara. That was the chiddush of the month. The month was not guaranteed. There was no guarantee tomorrow will show. You believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Chumash, that was the idea. This is a lesson in Parnasa. It's a lesson in Emuna. Says the Torah, a person has to realize, a person has to know that his Parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could try our best, and we should try our best, and we have to do Ishtadlis. But ultimately, a person has to realize that all that we have in our Parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Sforno says something amazing. The Sforno writes, you know what the Nisayon was for the Jewish people? Was, would we still connect to Hashem when all our physical needs are met? The Sforno learns the Chiddush of the testing was, would the Jewish people still connect to Hashem when all of their physical needs are met? What does he mean by that? We know that people generally daven to Hashem differently when things are going badly, when the things are going well. Right? When you see a guy in shul is pouring out his heart, it's usually because, it's not because, you know, life is going perfectly for him. That's just the nature of who we are. Therefore, says the Sforno, that was the Nisayon. Hashem says, are you going to still daven to me when everything is perfect? Everything, all your physical needs are met. Are you still going to need me? Or you only need me when you don't getting, when your needs are not being met? Says the Sforno, that was the Nisayon. The truth is, there's a Meridik of Medrash. Medrash writes, why were the Imois Akaros? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide to make our great mothers all unable to conceive naturally? So the Medrash says, because our Imois had everything else going for them. This is a Medrash, not me. They were smart, they were beautiful, they were talented. He said, if they would have this also, perhaps they wouldn't daven to Hashem. That's what the Medrash says. I would have never said that about our Imois, Chas v'Shalom. That's like the Medrash. And it's so true, because we know, we, in our own lives, we know that we daven to Hashem much better, or stronger, or devoted, when things are not going well. If we says the Sforno, that was the Nisayon. The Nisayon is, would we, Taka, still connect to Hashem when things are going amazingly? Everything is met. Everything is cared for. There is no financial strains. There's no problems. Would I still connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not? That was the Nisayon of the Jewish people stay in the Midbar. Then we have, ultimately, a few psukim later, we have the mitzvah of benching. One of the only few brachas that we have that we recite on a Torah level, and not all of benching is deraisa, the first three brachas are deraisa, but we have at least some connection to brachas being deraisa is benching. It says in the Chumash, v'chalto, v'sevoto, v'irachto, this is the idea of benching. So they say over an amazing story about a Yid lived in Eretz Yisrael, his name was Reb Shimon. This Reb Shimon was so makbit, his entire life, the mitzvah that he excelled in was the mitzvah of benching. He benched slowly, he benched carefully, he benched every word, he benched from a bencher. He mamish benched like the way you can imagine Moshe Rabbeinu teaching us to bench. And they once asked him, they said, why are you so meticulous? Why are you so careful? Why are you so makbid on the way you bench? And he said, I'll tell you a story. I was a young boy back in Europe, pre-Holocaust, and my yeshiva, my cheder, we had a visitor one day, the great Rav Meir Shapiro, the Oblina Rav, the great Lablina Rosh Hashiva, Rav Meir Shapiro, came to visit our cheder. And he told us that it's essential, if you want to see success, and he told the boys, if you want to have a life where you'll always have what you need, you'll never be lacking, you'll always have excessively, you'll have a ribui, bench carefully. Now, Rav Meir Shapiro didn't make this up. This is brought down in the Sefer Achinuch. It's brought down in El Yerabah. It's brought down in Berheit. It's brought down by quite a few commentaries that the beautiful brachas that await a person if he benches slowly, carefully understand every word, and benches from a bencher. But this voice that I want to tell you from the day I heard Rav Meir Shapiro tell it to us, I lived by it. I lived by it. And when I was younger, before the war, it was easy. And then the war hit. The Nazis invaded Poland. How am I going to bench properly? But I tried my best as I can. I tried to bench as best and kohoigen like I should. And he says, when I was online in the selections, I was a little kid. So there was a man behind me in the selection who said, tell them that you're a butcher. I didn't know anything about butchering. I didn't know anything about shechting. I wasn't a butcher. I was a little kid. But the guy behind me told me, tell them you're a butcher. So I told the Nazis I was a butcher. I got put in the kitchen. In the kitchen was the one place where you didn't go hungry. I had excess amount of food. He said, but one day, because I had so much food, one of the Nazi guards came over to me and said, why are you so much stronger than the rest of them? You're fatter. You seem to have much more meat on your bones. It must be that you're stealing food. And the Nazi guard brought him outside and said, you see this piece of this area over here? I want you to build me a bunker that I can fit in case I need to run away. And if you don't build me this bunker, by the time I get back, I'm going to kill you. Now, the boy said that the ground was a rock. He had nothing but a spoon. How on earth is he going to build a bunker? But he said, I'm going to try my best. I have Avtochim de Lublina up. I'm going to keep on going. So while he was there, the Polish soldiers came by. And the Nazis wanted to make fun of him. So they were throwing potatoes at him. It was a pile of potatoes. So now you're just adding on to his agony. Now he's a pile of potatoes here. He has nowhere to crack the ground. And then the SS guard's going to come back and kill him. All of a sudden, Polish soldiers drive by. And they see all these potatoes. And they say, give us the potatoes. They would have given anything for the potatoes. And the boy said to him, you know what? Instead of paying for the potatoes, help me dig this bunker. And together they dug the bunker. The guard came back. He couldn't believe what he saw. This kid built a bunker with the help of the Polish soldiers, and that spared his life. Because this Yid said, I made up at a young age, I'm going to bench properly. This beautiful Haftach, which again, it's not Rav Meir Shapiro's Chiddush, but Rav Meir Shapiro taught him this idea that when a person benches properly, beautiful brachas await him, beautiful Haftachas for wonderful, wonderful things in this world as well. We have a pasuk later on. Now, again, I'm skipping because we are very, very short on time. One of the famous psukim that occur in this week's parasha is the famous pasuk of V'amarta b'levavecha. You're going to say in your heart, Koichi ve'oitzim yodi, my strength and my power also lias achayel hazeh made this victory. This is as the Altar from Kelm pointed out. It doesn't say in the pasuk pen toimar. Maybe you'll say. Ve'amarta, you will say, writes the Alta from Kelm. Everyone will fall into this trap one way or another. We're destined to fall into this nesoyin of koichi ve'oitzim yadi. It may not be in war. It may be in business. It may be in a business dealing where we just close and we say to ourselves, wow, I came up with an amazing chap. I just saved the deal. I just made the deal. I came up with this amazing invention, this amazing thing. Koichi ve'oitzim yadi, it's all me. I was at the eye doctor today with my son, by a reputable, very chashuv eye doctor. And when we left, he said, listen, I'm just a messenger of Hashem. This guy's not even from. He's a messenger of Hashem. Not I'm a genius, I'm a great eye doctor, I'm so famous. I'm a messenger of Hashem. And therefore, says the Torah, says the Alpha of Kerem, we're destined to make this mistake. To think, we're destined to think that it's all about us. It's about our strength, about our greatness, and it's a mistake. We have to realize it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fast forwarding a little bit, we have a pasuk in Perek Yud, pasuk Chaf. Torah tells us very interesting pasuk. Pasuk says, "Es Hashem Elokecha Tirah." God, you should fear. Oisoi Savoid, him you should serve. Uboy Sidbak, and him you should connect. So the Gemara says a very interesting idea. The Gemara says that there was a Tana named Shimon Hamasoni. Some people say his name was Nechemya Hamasoni. That he had he darshaned every time the Torah says the word S, he came up with something. He darshaned every S in the Torah. Until he came to the pasuk, S Hashem Elokecha Tirah. God you should fear. What's the S? So he said, you know what? I'm done. I'm giving up my entire life's journey. He said, Kishem shekibalt ischar ala drisha, kach kibalt ischar ala prisha. I'm sorry. He said, Kishem shekibalt ischar ala drisha, kach kibalt ischar ala prisha. I mean, the same way I got reward for trying, I'm now going to get reward for giving it all up. He said, I must be wrong. From the fact that I had this idea that you have to darshan every S, and now I come to this pasuk in this week's parasha, and I have nothing to put next to Yiras Hashem, I give up. I throw in the towel, I give it all up, everything is no longer, my life's mission is no longer relevant. That's what the Gemara says. Says the Gemara, comes along Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said, no. Es Hashem Alekecha Tira teaches us you're supposed to fear Tamidei Chacham. So the obvious kasha that everyone asks is, why did Rabbi Akiva come with this drasha only now? Why did Rabbi Akiva say initially, Es Hashem Alekecha Tira, the Rabbi's Tamidei Chacham? So I heard this pshat over in the name of Reb Zelig Epstein, Rosh Yeshiva. Many people say this pshat. He says because Reb Akiva saw this godless only after Shimon HaMosani did what he did. Reb Akiva said if Shimon HaMosani could give up his entire life mission, if someone writes a PhD long-winded thesis, and then someone comes up with a kash on the thesis, and he rips the whole thesis up and says, you're right, I give up. Most of us, we come with a stickle Torah, with a teres, with a chap, with an answer, a doichik, this. Shimon HaMosani gave it all up. He said, you know what, you're right. It's not authentic. It's not honest. It's not MS. Give it up. Said, came along Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said, if there's a human being in the world who can do that, you have to honor him. Zel, the rabbi, Tamid Chum are not just scholars. They are people that are living a life of honesty. They're living a life of what is Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, since this did not match up with his ideology, Shimon HaMosani was ready to walk away from it. Rabbi Akiva said, if someone's willing to walk away from something that doesn't match Torah, that's someone you should honor. That's someone you should respect. That's someone who's on a very different level. But the end of the pasuk is also very famous. The end of the pasuk says, Uboy Sidbak. You're supposed to connect Tamid Chacham. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean to connect to Hashem? So the Gemara says, I might see a beat of the Talmud Chacham. This refers to someone who marries off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham or someone who does business with a Talmud Chacham. What's the pshat? So I think the pshat is when you marry off your daughter to a Talmud Chacham, what are you showing? What's the most valuable thing we have? Is our children. A guy marries off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham. He's saying that this is what I value. This is what's precious to me. This is what's important to me. A guy does business with a Talmud Chacham. Why do you do business with a Talmud Chacham? Because you want to help him out. You want to give him as much parnas as you can because you value them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's how you connect to me. That's Uboy Sidbak. You want to connect to me, connect to the Talmid HaChacham. They're an extension of me. They are a part of me. If you want to connect to me, says the Torah, that's how you connect to the Talmid HaChacham. That's the godless of Torah. It's not just learning the Torah, studying the Torah. This is the way we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uboy Sidbak, the way we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by being mechabit, by honoring, by having a sheikhah, to having a relationship, to connecting to, close to, being involved with Talmidei Chachamim. It's extremely late, but let's try to get one more vard in. This is not, this last shtickle that I want to say, it was really based on something else. I listened on, at a nice car ride last night to a chasana, so I was listening to a shiur from Rabbi Moshe Walter, a good friend of mine, a chashev rav, and suggest everyone listens to his chumash shiur as well. So he had a beautiful idea that he developed. He developed it over some time, where he brought out the differences between the second parasha of Kriya Shema, which is in this week's parasha of Vayayim Shemaya, and the first parasha of Kriya Shema, which is Shema Yisrael that appears in parasha of Veschana. And he pointed out there are many discrepancies between the two parashas. And he developed an idea based on Rav Chaim Volozhiner that this parasha of Vayayim Shemaya that we read in this week's parasha is not talking to Yechidei Skula. The first parasha of Kriya Shema was talking about the very special people, the very holy, high people, the Yechidei school. The second parasha is talking to the regular, typical Jew. And he answers with this. He said many kashas, but I told him this, and I think it's right that based on this Yisoy, we can understand another kasha that I had. In this week's parasha, the Torah tells us v'limadetem oisem es b'neichem, which pashtus means the mitzvah of Talmud Torah to your children. Father to mitzvah to teach his son Torah, which we'll get to mitzvah Shem in our Sunday morning shiur. We'll talk a lot about this. That's found in Parashas Eker. In Parashas Veschanan, we have a different pasuk. There it says Vishinantam Livonecha. Rashi tells us over there that Vishinantam Livonecha is referring to teaching Talmidim. So the question was, why is that pasuk Talmidim and this pasuk is sons? So I told him, I said, I think based on Reb Chaim Volozhiner, as you say, it makes a lot of sense. This parasha is talking to the general rule. The general world. Almost every person can have a child. You don't have to be a big Talmid Chacham to have a child. You don't have to be a big Rosh Hashiva to have a child. So therefore, it means biological children. But in the first parasha of Kriya Shema, the Torah is talking about something special. It's talking about Vishinatim. It's a high level of learning. It's a unique group of people. That's Taka for people that have Talmidim, Rabbeim, Rosh Hashivas, big Gedolim. This week's parasha is for all of us. We all have a mitzvah to teach our children. We all have a mitzvah to educate. We all have a mitzvah to show the beauty of Torah. I end off with one more vort, a gewaltige stickle Torah from Reb David Soloveitchik Zatzal. David Soloveitchik has shiurim, beautiful shiurim on Chumash. So he quotes a Rambam. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam writes that if someone has to be mevatel Talmud Torah for atzos ames, a person has to be mevatel Talmud Torah to take care of the dead, so he has to. If there's no one else to do it, Zakti Rambam, then he does it. But then he comes right back to his learning. That's the Lashon Rambam. The Yachzeh Lelimudai. He comes back to his learning. So if David Soloveitchik wanted to know, what does the Rambam want with that line, the Yachzeh Lelimudai? So he has a bunch of pshatim. So Grata, I thought a very poshut of pshat. I'll come to his pshatim in a second, but I have a very poshut of pshat. The Yachzeh Lelimudai, sometimes, you know, you have a situation where you have to miss Seder, you have to miss Yeshiva, to take care of something. Then you say to yourself, you know what, there's another 10 minutes left to Seder, but you know what, I'm already missing the first 40 minutes, why come back to the last minutes? No, Zakti Rambam. Yachzeh Lelimudai means get right back to it. The few minutes you have left, come back to it. Don't say to yourself, well, I already missed the beginning, I'm not going to come for the end. No, the Yachzeh Lelimudai, pick up where you left off, get right back into it. But he says in Gevaldik Pshat, he says over a story with the Zeder Reb Chaim. He says there was a story with Reb Chaim that they were talking once about Reb Eliyahu Chaim Meisel. Reb Eliyahu Chaim Meisel was the Rav of Lodz. It's interesting, he got his name Eliyahu Chaim, Eliyahu because of the Vilna Gaon Chaim from Chaim Lodz, and his parents were very, very stark Litvaks, real hardcore Litvish Jews. So it goes so far that he was such a Litvak that when he was the Rav in Lodz, he wanted to rewrite all the Sifrei, he wanted to fix all the Sifrei Torah. All the Sifrei Torah that had the Ksavari with the Tzadis written differently, he wanted them to be fixed. And Reb Chaim Soloveitchik told him, you don't have to fix it. But the Beis HaLevi told him, I think. But that was how Litvish he was. They wanted to have all the Sifrei Torah rewritten, at least fixed, all the ones that had Ksavari versus Ksav Beis Yosef. So they're saying over a story about Reb Eliyahu Chaim Meisel, that he had to miss a lot of learning to take care of the Tzarchei Rabbi. And Reb Chaim said, it's not the pshat. Reb Chaim said that when a person is mafsik for chesed, when no one else can do it, it's not called a hefsik in learning. It's not considered you close the gemara and you take a break. It's one long hemshech. The Torah is with you while you're doing the chesed, while you're doing the mitzvah. Then the yachzeh lelimudai, Zakti Reb Chaim, you never took a break. You're still in the middle of learning. Yes, you might be at a gravesite burying a body, but you're in the middle of learning. Says Reb Chaim, when a person takes a break for learning because it's a mitzvah she'efshar l'asa de'achayim, he never stops the learning. The Yachzeh Lelimudai is the pshat you picked up where you left off. It's not a tie in the Zakti Reb Chaim on someone who stops learning because he needs to. That's if he needs to. A person stops learning because he needs to. Zakti Reb Chaim, he's still in the middle of the learning. Such a beautiful lesson. Sometimes we can't learn all the time. But our head is in the learning and we come right back to it when we finish. And if Zakti Reb Chaim, you're still considered learning, you never took a break from that learning. Again, central lessons from this week's parasha about Torah, about mitzvahs, educating our children, passing on the tradition, and the beautiful brachas that await us, and Mr. Hashem, we should be zeicha to fulfill all of the divri habracha, all of the divri haTorah, however you want to learn ekev, all the different pshatim, but we should definitely be zeicha to the beautiful brachas that are found in this week's parsha.